Welcome to the Curious Tech Podcast. This is episode 171 for February 16th, 2022. Lazy Lefty Love. My name is Hobie Henning. I'm joined this evening by a overly attached cat and a Devin Rizzo, who just discovered she has a video game after a year. So, when I sold my PlayStation 4 to Devin, I included a copy of Horizon Zero Dawn that somehow she had didn't realize that she had for the last year. So
it got like some of my Switch games.
Yeah, before we recorded, we got to hear like excited Devin noises. So
well, a lot's happened.
It's been a month now, and oh gosh, where do we begin? The week after we recorded,
you were going to the anniversary episode.
Yeah, you got COVID.
I got COVID, and I was out for 2 weeks. There's been 4 tournaments since then. You had a family thing. And now we're here on a random Wednesday.
I bought a car.
Has it been that long?
Yes, it's been, I got my car tag today.
Yes, Hobie finally, after like 2 years, bought a car.
It was a year.
I'm fine, it was a year, but it felt like two.
So, I ended up getting a red Nissan Altima VC Turbo, so it's pretty nice. It's got a moonroof, it's got a turbo engine, and it's got CarPlay.
And it is red. Finally, it is red.
Yes, it is very bright red.
Yes, so if he bought anything that was not red, I was going to yell at him.
I was to the point of giving up because the car market is awful and getting a color is nearly impossible. So
it's not impossible. You just have to pay extra.
It's just only like red and blue cars or only like maybe 10% of the entire car market. Like 75% of all cars are like black, gray, white, and black, gray, and white. Those are pretty much the three colors that most people, 75% of people get. Like 10% get red or blue, and then like, you know, the last 15% is just like other. So yeah, anyway, I'm very happy with the Altima. Got CarPlay now, so I can, and if I had an Android phone, Android Auto. So that's a transformative experience. So, and Devin survived COVID, and she survived 4 robotics tournaments. So I was, yeah, she's the only person now who tried to do get COVID the day after she got cleared and did a 2-day robotics tournament, and then I didn't hear from her for about 48 hours.
It's been a couple weeks since I've recovered from COVID. It's still kicking my ass. I'm still feeling like shit a lot. And I know part of it is that I don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you think I'd be over it by now.
Again, you don't stop to rest.
Yes, so I am aware. I am literally the person who got out of quarantine on a Wednesday and then started prepping for this massive tournament on Thursday.
Yeah, and I was like, Devin. You're like, well, I had some coffee and a Monster and some cheeses. I was like, you just got over a disease. You need to eat.
Yeah, everyone told me, like, ease into your first day back at work. Ease into it. Do a half day. What did I do? I did an 18-hour day my first day back from COVID.
And then Sunday and Monday and Tuesday afterwards, I was like, how are you doing? You're like, I am dead. Like, basically, for like the next week, you were like, why did I do that?
I mean, I was regretting my choices, but at the same time.
And then for the first time in my life, Devin was like, you know what? What was it? You were like, I want a salad. I want a soup of bread bowl. I want some solid food. I was like, huh. So you're finally taking My advice, it only took a pandemic and almost,
You
tying up
know,
a 2-day tournament, 3-day tournament.
yeah, and it's not even that I. It's not that I can't function on pizza and pizza and energy drinks, because I do it routinely. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't know, maybe my taste buds have changed as I'm getting ever so slightly older. But like, or maybe just because of my constant on-the-go schedule, but I've started to like hate like burgers and pizza.
Yeah, because like the greasy stuff, like after a certain point, just kind
It all starts to like tasting the same.
of like that, and then it's good every now and then, but not all the time.
But like every weekend when you're trying to feed kids, like there's not much else out there. But we
Oh
did
boy.
learn the world does not stop turning and expects me to moderately still function, even with I have COVID.
Some of that was self-inflicted because Devin doesn't know how to delegate.
I tried.
Yeah, sure.
Like, no, literally, I sent something to someone asking why I hadn't updated them. I was like, sorry, I have COVID, I'm not feeling well. And their response was, oh, sorry to hear that. When will we have this update?
People are.
Expecting it like that day. I was like, I am dying, but the world must keep functioning.
Yes. So, anyway, we're going to roll right into this. We have a big Samsung event to talk about, and we're going to talk about some of the highlights of the last month. So, we got a little bit of everything. It's skewing very heavily Google, but we got some gaming news too. So, first up first, which really surprised me. Not the future surprised me, but like people's reaction at work surprised me. But the Teams walkie-talkie app is now widely available. And I posted this to our internal teams, and I got like eight different departments go, Hobie, how do we turn this on? This looks so cool. Because people really love walkie-talkies. Have you ever used a walkie-talkie, Devin?
No.
I've used them for like different for like robotics events, and they're nice for that kind of stuff. And one time we used them in Disney World before everyone had cell phones. So, yeah, if you have Teams, if you use the Android or iOS or a Zebra device, which
What
is a
is a
more
zebra device?
it appears to be
Like, is this
a
an
dip.
iPhone in a zebra striped case?
No, it is a do-do-do. It's from Zebra Technologies, and it has a dedicated push-to-talk button for quick and secure communications. So these devices are widely used by frontline workers. So basically, you hit the push-to-talk button, and it will immediately, whatever like team your walkie-talkie is assigned to, it will chat with that. So, interesting thing about this is it goes over data instead of a traditional like RF radio spectrum. So it is encrypted, and you can assign it to teams, and then people theoretically in the future will be able to be on the desktop and also listen in and talk to the other push-to-talk walkie-talkie users. So you could coordinate between like an office or like a NOC, and then like installers in the field, or if you're running an event, you can do push-to-talk between that. And it's more secure and private than a just open band walkie-talkie.
Interesting.
We have people who runs lots of events, and we also have frontline workers. We have salespeople. We have maintenance people. We have grounds people. We have a million different uses for this
Okay, but like,
application.
why use a walkie-talkie versus just sending a voice message?
Because a walkie-talkie is, it's like a group conversation versus a blurp.
Okay.
Yeah, you can have an open channel of communications. So, you can have like a hot mic and you can just like leave it on. So, anyway, People were surprised. I was surprised how excited with that. So, I totally should have added some more Windows 11 stories from today because there are a whole bunch of Windows 11 news. But
Wait, is anyone actually using Windows 11?
lots of people are using Windows 11, Devin.
I don't know a single person that uses Windows 11.
You can walk around Auburn University and see hundreds of students using it now. The students are
By
definitely using.
choice or because their laptop auto-updated?
Well, it would have been by choice because they would have had to click on the install because Windows 10 does not automatically update to Windows 11. It is offered, but you definitely have to go through and definitely click the installer. So, yes, these students upgraded to Windows 11 with their own volition. So, and it's coming on new computers too. So.
Got it. I have several laptops that I use daily, and not a single one of them is on 11.
I mean, I haven't rolled it out to my people yet, but because mainly like there are some enterprise-y features that I'm missing. So I consider Windows 11 a really nice consumer operating system, and it's a nice enterprise operating system. It just looks flashy. So the amount of work that it would require for me to roll it out to everybody is not worth the extra flashy right now. So I've gotten a couple of testers. I'm gonna roll it out to and get some feedback on it in case I need to make any documentation. So,
Yeah, I'm not sure when I will upgrade to 11.
most people in the enterprise have to get their applications vetted
No,
from their IT.
personally.
Well, I mean, again, you're working in an enterprise robotics environment, so you gotta wait for your IT provider to tell you that to green light it.
Except for we don't have an IT provider. It's calling this developer, calling this developer, calling this company, and oh, hey, does this work together now? It's gonna be like a year.
Yeah, that's very normal for an enterprise environment. So most enterprise environments like delay like big Windows updates like this for like 2 to 5 years. So that's very normal.
I want a burner device I can put Windows 11 on just to play with it.
You should.
See,
That
I
should
miss
be cool.
being in college where it didn't really matter if my operating system was stable because I just used Google Docs for everything.
Yeah, but no, we got students using it. We got some professors using it too now. So I've seen a couple in architecture and building science already using it. So it's on campus. It's slowly rolling out, but no one's in a big rush because it's kind of like Windows 10.5. I mean, it's nice, but like
It really
not.
shouldn't have been called 11. It should have just been another big Windows 10 update with some UI changes.
That's what it was, but
But
yeah,
it's
they just.
called 11. It shouldn't be called 11.
It has enough
It is
UI.
not different enough to be called 11.
It has enough UI changes. I would disagree. So,
Yay!
before you've lived through a weird time.
Every single OS device, every single OS upgrade that I have been through is a major, like, learn how to use a computer again change. Windows 11 just
No.
seems like you installed a launcher.
Yeah, no. Before Windows 8, this is exactly how every Windows update was like. From like 95 to 98 to 2000 to XP to 7 to 10. I'm sorry, to
No,
7.
XP to 7 was big.
Not really. I mean, it was still
Or was I just
fundamentally.
4?
You were young, so, I
And then,
mean.
but like 7 to 8 was huge. And 8 to 10 was huge. And now 10 to
Well.
11 just sounds stupid.
8 to 10 was like a reversal back to like the 7 modality, and now this is they're like, oh hey, we're gonna make Windows 10 a little bit more modern and like make our design language match. So, but yes, you should get a Windows 11 device. So,
I don't
anyway,
want to buy a device just to play with the operating system, you know?
I'm sure there are a million people. That would be willing to like loan you a computer to install 11 on. You probably just need to ask your robotics teams. All right. So, in Windows 11 news, I'm just gonna, they're not listed in the show notes, but I'll just ramble off a few things. Android apps have launched, so there was an update today, or no, yesterday, that you can now install Android apps on Windows 10. Also, via the Amazon App Store, so like Kindle, games, Audible, stuff like Netflix. The taskbar mute and unmute button now officially works. So if you're, it's like a universal microphone button in your taskbar. You can share any window from the taskbar. So starting off with Teams, you can, if you're in the middle of a meeting, you can just hover your mouse over the icon and click the share button. This feature will also be coming to like Zoom and WebEx and other applications whenever they decide to start supporting the feature. The widgets have now, they're kind of re-adding the weather in the taskbar feature if you've got widgets turned on. Your clock now shows up on a second monitor. That's been a chief complaint. Windows Media Player and Notepad have both been rebuilt, and they are now officially in the operating system. So all of that came out today. Also, Windows 11 coming up is going to be getting folders in the taskbar. New touch gestures for multitasking, a live captions available with audio, kind of like how Pixel phones can automatically transcribe audio. That's going to be built into Windows 11 soon. Task Manager is getting a redesign and a dark mode. Pour one out for Task Manager. In the beta, apparently you're going to be able to add stickers to your wallpaper. Don't know what that's about, but that's definitely a consumer-y school, little kid feature. And there is going to be some new tablet features as well. So that, like, if you're using tablet apps, you can have the taskbar automatically hide. And there's going to be a new sustainability, like energy conservation pane in settings now, that will allow you to turn on like eco-friendly features on your desktop or your laptop to either preserve battery life or not turn your computer into a space heater. So, apparently the stickers, it may be for like educational use, that you can like stick stuff to people, like students' wallpapers, as like reminders to like do this and do that, almost like permanent sticky notes that a teacher can push out but a student can't remove. So that's an interesting feature, but yeah, lots of little Windows 11 features coming down the road. Speaking of change, Gmail's about to get a big change, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about this.
How do you feel about this, and what does this change exactly?
I mean, honestly, how do I feel about Gmail in 2022? I wish I could get rid of Gmail. Wish that I could not have a Gmail account, but everything is so integrated right now with my Google account, it would be impossible. I think it would be easier if I died. Like, if I faked my death and was reborn as, like, I don't know, Finnish ice dancer, it might be easier to exist without Google. But, like...
isn't this just, like, the progress of any, like... I'm sorry, just, like, the natural final form of Gmail is eventually Gmail becomes Outlook. I hate this.
I don't like Outlook. I hate Outlook. I'm forced to use it every day at work, and I hate it. I use it because that's what IT says to use, so blah, blah, blah. And I can't go to something else because part of what I do is classified. And if I change my browser, it's a thing of national security, blah, 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 blah. I don't want my personal email to look like Outlook. If I wanted my personal email to look like Outlook, I would use Outlook.
So this new feature has an application bar on the left.
Which nobody wants, no one asked for.
Devin would like life to remain how it was when she was approximately 4 years old when Gmail launched in 2008.
I was 12 in 2008. No, I wasn't. I was 11 in 2008.
Anyway,
Shut up.
so they are
They're
basically
making
there's
it too, they're gonna make it so complicated. There's so many features now that, like, a lot of people don't want or need.
they're trying to push G Suite so hard right now.
I'm aware, but like, and that's great for G Suite. If this was just a G Suite update, I wouldn't be as salty. But this is also rolling out to personal Gmail accounts too. And what, our personal, our everyday individual is supposed to have a G Suite user account now?
So anyway, there's now going to be an additional bar on the left. That one for mail, one for chat, one for spaces, and one for meet. So it
I don't
allows you
like
to
this.
easily switch between different views. Say integrated view. Integrated apps—they're all the rage. All-in-one apps are—they're back. Because
I have always hated all-in-one apps.
well, apparently the new Outlook app's going to do something similar that you can have your Teams apps in Outlook, but you can turn that off. You can customize Outlook. I don't know if you can customize Gmail. You can make Outlook very simple if you want to make it, but by default, it is like a battleship. It has a million features in it. So I almost wish for like consumers they had like a minimal mode, and then like they had like an enterprise mode, and you can like when you open up Gmail for the first time, you can be like, hey, give me something like inbox, or you can be like, hey, give me all the buttons. I want to live in Gmail all day.
Which nobody wants to do.
Except Google. Well, no, there are people for which that they live in Outlook. They live in Outlook all day, and that is their life. And it's the same with Google. The G Suite is their are Google employees that they'd get everything done in their inbox. So this design is for people who live in their inbox all day.
Would absolutely cry if I lived in a single app all day long for 8 hours a day.
Oh, it's more common than you would think.
I would
So
hate that.
I would too, but it's so common. This is what this update is for. So it's a little heavy for me as a consumer too. So like, could we have like an inbox mode? I'd be like, hey, like just remove all the extra cruft. Remove like the left sidebar and the right sidebar. I don't need all the apps popping up. I just want Gmail in one tab, Google Calendar in a separate tab.
Google Chat, if you are a G Suite user, great. Okay, it's useful. Spaces, I hate the concept, but if you're in a work environment, I see how it's useful. Google Meet should have always been its own separate thing. I don't know why they're trying to integrate it. But as a consumer for my personal email, I just want to see when people send me stuff and be able to sort the spam and sort the newsletters. And if you bundle my hotels and flights, that's awesome. If not, I'm gonna complain, but it's okay. The only thing I do like about this update is I like the little status bar on the top
Oh, with the active and
with
inactive.
the active or not active, so that way I can set that at 8 a.m. on Sunday, I am not awake and responding to your email. Is it 3 a.m. on a Tuesday? Yeah, I'm probably up and responding to email. 8 a.m. on Sunday? Probably not.
All right. Well, apparently with this new design, Google is introducing a free workspace tier that doesn't actually include email. So it's that same interface, but no email. So just spaces and chat and hangouts and docs.
I can't tell if that's better or worse.
I mean, it's not shoving everything into Gmail. It's the opposite. It's removing Gmail.
I mean,
I wish like it were like, you know, I mean that it was like the new Outlook that you could just like pop out an app and have it like you could pop Gmail out and leave everything else and have Gmail pure and then everything else can be in another window. Does that make sense?
That would make sense, and I would not complain as much.
Like if they were modular that you can like be like, yes, I use chat and Gmail all the time, remove spaces and work and hangouts and just have those two buttons. So that would be ideal. Hopefully,
Interaction.
with like progressive web apps, they can eventually
Hi.
pop those out. We have a cat joining us.
Have been joined by a cat.
Hey, there's a pixel. Oh, he's just sniffing. Oh, and he's like rubbing himself all over his person to make sure she's
Okay.
okay.
Hi. Oh.
This is the segment that we pause and pet our cats. This is a cat break.
This is a cat-friendly podcast.
This is a new podcast, a new segment of the podcast called Catnap, that we take a break for 5 minutes and nap with our cats. I don't know.
More like 2 minutes.
Like 2 minutes.
Do not turn
So,
on sticky keys.
has anyone ever used sticky keys after like 2000?
Don't know. Sit down.
Oh
It's
man.
been a we've been in a pandemic for 2 years, but Pixel has still not found his a good optimal spot to sit on my desk while I'm working or recording.
Fair enough. Speaking of more optimal
Don't want
things,
your butt.
the Android Messages beta is starting to properly display iOS message reactions. Do you have the shit?
I do not. Oh, actually, I do ish. Wait, no. Is this where they actually show the reaction versus so and so liked this message?
Yes.
I do not have that feature. I hate iPhone reactions.
Well, it's in the Android Messages beta, so if you want to go ahead and upgrade to that, you can have that feature today. So, this is not part of the SMS standard. This is Google actually like hard coding it directly into Android. So, yeah, if you want to get rid of those reactions, you can upgrade to the Android Messages beta. So, maybe one day Apple will support RCS and then we can have encrypted text messages again. That'd be not again, but you know what I mean, between iOS and Android. Oh, I forgot to. I don't. I'm gonna remove this story.
Which one?
The Google TV.
You are. Go ahead.
To control the TV linked to your
Oh no!
speaker, smart display.
Stop. Long story short, Google TV is going to work with smart home controllers, and apparently they're working on a Apple Fitness Plus competitor, or maybe partnering with like Peloton or Fitbit. So, because Google TV apparently is mildly successful, just not in the United States. Everywhere but the United States, apparently is pretty successful. So, there's that.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's so strange. Like in Europe, I think. Canada and Brazil, it's like this, it's the default operating system on many, many TVs. And just in the US, for whatever reason, it's not. It just recently started becoming the default. So, all right, so Wear OS is going to work for lefties.
I have been wearing my watch upside down. For what, 5 years now? Yeah, 5 years. It's literally says eventually that Wear OS will have an accessibility feature to rotate the screen 180 degrees.
Yeah, I'm
So, like, we are getting bare minimal lefty support, finally.
That's so strange that it's such a struggle. I don't get it.
Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Because I'm now on airplane mode.
No, here, no, no, okay. No, you're still definitely recording.
Cat, pixel.
Devin is struggling with her large cat right now, as he is trying to aggressively snuggle her.
It's not even snuggle. It's more...
He wants to be with you.
He wants to be with me, but he doesn't want to cuddle. He wants to...
lounge.
Lounge. On my laptop.
He wants you to pay him some attention and give him a hug.
I tried to give him a hug, and his response is to lay on the keyboard.
That way you can give him a hug.
But when I do that, he pushes all of the buttons.
You just needed like a distraction keyboard.
I actually tried that once.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't fall for it.
Oh, well, it sounds like he just wants to be in between you and whatever you're trying to do.
But yes, left-handed mouse support or watch support. I will do literally whatever I have to do by whatever I have to do to get this support.
Fair.
Like, finally. Like, and you'd think this is like a basic feature, but like, even Samsung watches don't have this feature.
It's literally been on the Apple Watch since day one. I just am surprised that it's just not, I don't know how it wasn't like part of like the basic design spec. You have people people have two hands.
Yeah. I'm very excited for this, but it literally says from Google, you will eventually get this update.
Speaking of other updates that you will be eventually getting, apparently there's a developer preview for Android 13.
Why?
Because they got to work on the version of Android that everyone will have 2 years from now.
You mean like 3 years from now?
I mean, if you buy a Galaxy S22, you'll get the update at least. So... There are new theming options, some more privacy features, kind of akin to like Apple's privacy panel that you can like tell apps to not track you. There is better support for dynamic icons that a developer can make an icon change color and like go from light to dark depending on your theme automatically. So... just kind of bringing material you to the rest of Android. And apparently other phone makers are starting to embrace material you. So, yeah, material you in all the places.
Yes.
So, and I like that you can select what you want of material you. Because, like, I like the transparency and the colors, but I don't want the icons. And I like how you can choose if you want the icons or not. They thought ahead. Because monochromatic, for me, monochromatic icons are kind of hard to parse through.
Whoa.
So, rabbit holes? Okay, so new Chrome tool.
I don't know if I would call this a tool as more of a time waster or a, I don't know, don't need a zip tie. I don't know what to call it. It's an adventure. This is an adventure from Google.
Would you call it a journey?
I would not call it a journey. I'd call it more of an adventure. But it is a new adventure from Google called Google Journey Groups. or journeys, and it groups your search history together by category.
Okay, so it's in the history feature of Gmail? Sorry, Google Chrome?
Yes. So, like, in theory, you could look at your activity related to travel or a certain, like, vacuum cleaner you've been researching. Or, if you're like me, penguins. And Yamaha microphones. And do boy cats have nipples? Like...
Yes, but why?
These are all things I've Googled this week.
Oh, interesting. I had to turn it on in my browser.
No, this I didn't even look. This was things off the top of my head that I know I've Googled this week.
Hmm.
Like, I don't know if the... This is not meant for people who are easily distracted or have ADHD, because... This is coming from the person who once spent 3 hours researching the national dance culture of Tanzania at like 4 a.m.
Okay, well, other potentially more useful search features is if you have Android, you can now have a widget for the Chrome Dino game, as well as...
Wait, so does this game work when the internet isn't broken?
Yeah, and then...
Okay, I thought the game at the end of the internet was only for when you were at the end of the internet.
I'm guessing this widget lets you play it otherwise, and then now if you want to, the Google search widget now has a dino button too, just in case you just need the dino for like 5 minutes.
I mean, the dino game is relaxing.
Oh, man. So, yeah, new goofy search tools. So, I don't get journeys, but, you know, the dino widget's really cool.
I'm here for the dino widgets.
I have a dino water bottle now, and it's just fantastic.
All right. So, tag Hewer. Hoyer? Power.
I don't know how to pronounce. Let's see.
So, how do you pronounce it? Anyways, the connected Calibri E4 is the fourth generation of the luxury watchmaker's Wear OS hardware.
I have always deeply wanted these watches, and they're so nice. I love the red and black one, and they look so nice.
They do look expensive.
They look expensive. They are expensive, but they're cheaper than they used to be. They now...
So, like, the buttons aren't as chunky. This literally looks like a traditional expensive watch, but make it smart. Yeah, ooh, like, they have a titanium option.
I like the titanium with the red silicon band. That's definitely my jam.
And they also have a 42mm variant, which is slightly more stylish, according to The Verge. Has a thinner case and a smaller bezel. It kind of just blends in nice and neatly underneath the crystal.
Let's see. Apparently, it has a magnetic charger. Mm-hmm. And it has a little nightstand mode. There are some like new fitness watch faces, and it unfortunately does not ship with Wear OS 3, but it will supposedly be getting it in the future. It does run like the newer chipsets though, so it should have plenty of power for Wear OS 3. So, anyway.
So they're adding guided workouts that run entirely on the watches.
Oh, interesting.
Apple and more watch faces with more complications.
Apple has that a little bit with Apple Fitness Plus now, so.
But the prices have gone down, but the 42 millimeter cheapest model is $1,800, and the cheapest model for the 45 starts at $2,050. And if you want to spend $2,500 on a watch, you can get the full titanium model.
Yeah, I've seen Googlers wear these during Google I/O, but that's the only time I've ever seen. And most of the time, it's only like senior level engineers who have senior level engineering money wear these things. But I mean, like, they look really nice. If I had unlimited money, I would totally have one.
Okay, these are like smartwatch goals for when we hit it big.
Yes. Oh, I mean, like that titanium one with like the red silicon. Yeah, that'd be great. And then I would,
If you are interested in spending $2,000+ on a watch, they go available on the TAG website on March 10th.
Nice. So, Louis Vuitton has a new watch that's
so not actually... If the TAG watch is not fancy enough for you, you can go up and spend $3,300 for a Louis Vuitton Tambour Horizon light up.
So
this watch.
Why?
It's so shiny with so much RGB. It looks kind of nice.
It's so gaudy.
Okay, but like, you could totally see me wearing this, though.
Oh, right? Yeah, it's total. And then, like, the RGB interacts with, like, the watch faces and the time of day. And it's weird because it doesn't actually wear Wear OS. It runs its own thing, which is real strange. But, I mean, it looks really nice. It's just super big.
I would wear this.
Oh, I know you would wear this because it has so much RGB. But yeah, they have a whole bunch of custom watch faces that interact with, basically like around the bezel of the watch is like RGB hieroglyphics. I don't know. What would you call that? Like little symbols around?
They're the Louis Vuitton symbols.
Okay. And they change colors depending, like they're RGB, so they can change colors depending on whatever the active watch face is. So, like, one of the examples is, like, half the watch face is red, and then, like, the LEDs are red on the left side, and then blue, and then they're blue on the right side to kind of push out that, you know, I mean, it makes the watch face kind of, like, encompass the entire front of the watch.
I would totally buy this if I could add $3,000 to spend.
No, you would spend. You would actually be closer to 4,000 because you would want the matte black one.
At that point, $3,000, $4,000. Is that big of a difference?
Anyway, all right. Moving into Samsung land. We had a Unpacked event this week. Is it still Unpacked? Called Unpacked? It's Unpacked,
it
right?
It is.
Cool. So, I guess you would say the star of the show was the Galaxy Note 22. I mean, the Galaxy S22 Ultra.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, this is a Galaxy Note and everything but name. So, it's the biggest Samsung phone you can get with curved aluminum, flat tops, a stylus with a built-in stylus hole. All the camera modules, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 camera holes. Kind of a flush design this year that I don't know if I like very much, but I guess most people stick them in cases anyway. Yeah, just it has all the hardware, all the parts. It's a 6.8 OLED screen with 128 hertz refresh rate, with a even brighter 1750 nit peak brightness. So if you're in direct sunlight, it'll get real bright and you'll actually be able to use it. It does have 45 watt fast charging for wireless. I'm sorry, wired. Wireless is 15 watts. You can get one up to a terabyte of storage. It is water resistant, has 5G, Wi-Fi 6E. Did I mention it has a stylus? It has a 3x and a 10x telephoto camera, a 12 megapixel ultra wide, and a 40 megapixel selfie, so your face can have all the, you know, I mean, you can have all the pixels in your pores.
See, now you don't like the lack of a camera bump. I love the lack of a camera bump.
I wish they would have, like, I don't care about
Like,
it
I've
being
never understood the whole
flush.
point of a camera bump when, like, half of the bump is just nothing. Like, I get that, like, the actual lens of the camera needs to stick out, and that makes sense. What's this, like, rectangle around all the lenses?
I just feel like it merges it with the design of the body. It like
It doesn't though. It literally it looks worse with a bump than it does. Oh, hey, there's some cameras there.
I like right now it just feels like they glued camera lenses to the back of the phone. I feel like they should have like offset the cameras with like something in the background.
No, I think it looks a lot better like this.
I prefer the S22 and the S22 Ultra. I like how they just lean into the cameras with that design.
Nah, I like this better.
So it's regardless, most people are going to stick it in a case. So
In the end, it doesn't really matter.
no, like 95% of people are going to stick these things in a case. It's a big phone. People want some extra grippiness to it. It's basically the Note minus the Note name. So their reasoning was real weird that apparently the stylus works on multiple devices now, so they didn't want to have a Note name and confuse people because the stylus works on multiple. So this is just the Ultra because it has Ultra specs. So.
They're just rebranding the Note line.
Yep, so if you want a gigantic Android phone with just all the specs, this
And a
is your
stupid
phone.
pen.
I love the pen.
That's what the S stands for, stupid pen.
I love the pen. I love the pen.
Pen is dumb.
You're just jealous because you can't use one. So, all right. The Galaxy S22 and 22 Plus also got announced. Improved performance, improved low light capabilities in the cameras. The back is metal now. Am I?
I was just so sad when I watched this event.
Most people don't upgrade every year, Devin.
I was ready to upgrade. I was ready to spend $1,000 on a new phone. I was ready.
This is why you gotta like pace your upgrades out. I do one every other year.
And there's nothing wrong with my S21. I have no problem with nothing wrong with it.
See, it's S20s and it that they're basically trying to sell upgrade those people to. It's people with the Galaxy
Like an
S20
S10.
or an S10. People with the S10 or the S20, that's the market audience for this phone. The target
Yeah.
audience.
Yeah, and I was just so sad. There was no new headphones announcements. The tablet, which we'll talk about in a minute, is not ready to for purchase yet. I was just so sad.
They announced new watch features that we will also talk about, but the watch features aren't coming until later this year.
Like, I have the best of the best watch. I have the second gen flagship phone.
Devin's
I've
just
got
peaked.
the
Devin's just
pro
peaked.
wireless headphones. Like, I've peaked, and like I've peaked in Samsung equipment, and like I was just sad. But I couldn't find that. That is Devin, not Devin worth looked buying upon this her, new phone.
Devin looked upon her kingdom and wept, for there were no more phones to conquer.
And like, I could buy the 22, but like, I'm getting such a minimal upgrade that it's not worth the $800.
Yeah, no, just wait.
Anyway. The display is slightly brighter. It's about a square millimeter smaller. It's the same amount of RAM. It's a very incremental camera system upgrade.
Better low light and better
Video. Night video, which I take no night video. I don't regain a headphone jack. I don't regain a micro SD support.
Those were gone and never coming back.
I'm aware. I'm still sad.
Nah, I'm not. I had to use wired headphones for a week and I don't miss them. I don't miss them. That's not a fun life anymore.
I still kind of miss them.
I don't. I really don't. I have some metal back to it now. So
a metal back, which of course totally matters because I'm going to stick this thing in an Otterbox and never take it out.
I guess they figured out wireless charging through metal?
I guess. They both have
128
wide, ultra wide, and a telephoto zoom camera.
They have the 128 hertz refresh rate now.
I'm looking at the comparison photos and you can barely tell the difference.
Yeah. This is definitely a S year for Samsung.
It's an S year and I am sad. And I know I sound like an entitled spoiled brat right now. I accept this fact that I spent way too much money last year on all of the new tech.
Devin wasn't like compensating for any emotional downturns.
Yeah, no, not even. I was upgrading from an S9 and I didn't pay for that. I paid like $12 for the headphones. But like still, like I thought that the S22 was going to be something big, but it's an S year and it's like...
Speaking of big things, though, the Samsung's getting back into tablets again with the Tab S8 Ultra. So,
are Android tablets coming back?
Well, there's Android L that we talked about last episode, which is for large. Yes, a month ago, which is, I was going to omit that part. But anyway, Android L, whenever it comes out, will be compatible with these things. But the S8 actually denotes the version, I'm sorry, like the model revision and not the size, which I was confused by initially. But you can now get the Samsung Tab S8 Ultra, which is a 14.6-inch OLED panel.
Okay, so I came from an 8-inch tablet to an 11-inch tablet, and I'm glad I did. I don't want to go from an 11-inch to a 14-inch, though.
This is like a laptop replacement at that point. It's real big. This is bigger than like the big iPad Pro that I am currently testing, like a coworker's old iPad Pro. It's so big.
Like, if I have this on top of 2 16-inch laptops in my backpack, I don't know if it would fit. You know? Like, I don't know if it would actually fit.
It does have a notch after, you know, Samsung making fun of Apple for having notches. So, which is weird because Apple doesn't actually have a notch in their tablet, but Samsung does now. So there's that. Because life is real confusing now. It does have a bigger S Pen. It's a really powerful tablet, but kind of like the watch that Devin has on her wrist, like. It's gonna get better later in the year at unnoted amount of time. So if you buy one whenever they launch, you're gonna be using Samsung's like multi-window multitasking, that's not real Android, and then it'll change later in the year whenever they do get it. So it'll probably be really nice in the fall.
Android L, we don't know when it's coming out.
I'm presuming this fall, whenever a corresponding Pixel tablet comes out, I guess.
We hope.
We hope.
We assume. I don't know. I'm sure we'll hear more about Android L at I.O.
Yeah, so I think the watch and these tablets are like a long-term play, and then they will be nice in the fall, and then things will make sense. But in the meantime, it's a real weird. So,
are Android tablets coming back? Because Android tablets have gotten so little love that I'm seriously considering buying an iPad Pro.
I would love Android tablets to get a little bit of love. I love the concept.
I love my Android tablets. I use it for so many things that isn't productivity.
Yes.
I'm not looking for a laptop replacement. This looks like a laptop replacement. We already have 25 laptop replacements.
Well, the big one is. But I mean, the main one that most people are going to probably buy is the 11-inch that you currently have.
But the pricing, though.
They're premium tablets.
I mean, this was a flagship when I bought it, and it was only
$600. Yeah, you can get a model like that for about the same price. It's just the old
starts at $7.
Well, I mean, you're getting a lot more. Anyway. I mean, but they're 120 hertz OLED refresh. I mean, OLED panels.
What is so good about OLED? You can't really tell the difference.
Oh, I can totally tell the difference with OLED.
You're a screen snob.
No, they're really black, really dark blacks, and they're luxurious. Even my mother could tell the difference when she upgraded to an iPhone 13, because she was like, I'm not even going to be able to tell that it's an OLED screen. I'm like, you totally were, and you will be. And, a few hours afterward, she was just like, she was like playing on her phone. She was like, this screen is so beautiful. So, yeah, you can get one with up to 16 gigs of RAM and up to half a terabyte of storage. It has two front-facing cameras. And it has the same chipset that's in the S22 line of phones. So, I hope Android L and Android 12, Android 12L and Android 13 really bring back tablets. The iPad could use some competition. I think competition is good. I kind of would also love a return of the Nexus 7 tablet. Could we do that? Is that too much to ask?
No, I had one of those and it was great.
I love the tiny Nexus. I always wanted them. They were so small and they ran pure Android, and they just had that grippy back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted one so badly when I was in college, but I couldn't justify buying one, so because I spent all my money on buying an iPad. But yeah, no, I would love a Nexus 7, a Pixel 7 tablet or something like that. That would be so cool.
Yeah, I would love Android competition that way. With this, when this thing dies. As of right now, I would have to buy an iPad Pro.
Well, I mean, you want it to work with all your apps that you're using. I mean, you want it to, you live the Google life, so you want it to work with Google Photos and YouTube and Spotify and Gmail, and you want all of those native apps, and that's very reasonable to kind of want everything to work together.
Exactly, and I've got a Samsung watch and a Samsung phone and a Samsung headphones. Why would I not want a Samsung tablet? But the operating system just isn't ready for it yet.
So, yeah, I'm hoping maybe at I.O. we see, where everything's kind of comes together with all of these tablets. Especially, it would be, I would love, that big tablet if it could run, full Google Chrome. If you're using that tablet as, in laptop mode, it would be super cool if you could be hey, this is running Android, but it's running full Google Chrome on top of that.
I want to say that Google needs to do what Apple did and make iPad the equivalent of iPad OS.
I hope that's
what Android... But it's Google, And knowing that, we would just end up with a glorified OS with more messaging apps.
I hope that this is like the beginning of like Google's version of iPad OS, that they have dedicated tablet apps, because I really think that's the way that you have to do these things, because otherwise developers.
I do too. I'm worried that Google will mess it up.
Oh man! Speaking of other interesting Google things, a product that I'm surprised still exists, Google Duo, now gets co-watching and other collaboration features on the S22 and I imagine other Android phones soon, so it'll work with Jamboard. But apparently, kind of like Apple's SharePlay feature, you will be able to do stuff like watch YouTube or TikTok with friends, or like work on like Jamboard or share your screen out. So it seems cool. Supported apps include YouTube, Google Maps, Samsung Notes, Samsung Gallery, and then eventually developers will be able to make their own apps that you can share your screen and do stuff together with your friends on.
Fun.
Yeah. All right, so Samsung Galaxy Watch 4 is getting some new features, including the Google Assistant, which is apparently coming soon.
Eventually.
Apparently it's Samsung is saying it's quote-unquote coming soon, so maybe by I.O. but apparently, with this update, not only are they releasing new watch bands, which is actually not software, but it's hardware, you'll be able to get a link bracelet or a fabric band or new sports band colors. But more importantly, they're going to introduce animal sleep tracking symbols. So now you can be one of eight animals whenever you wake up in the morning. You could be a unconcerned lion, a sensitive hedgehog, a nervous penguin, a sun adverse mole, a cautious deer, a easygoing walrus, an exhausted shark, or an alligator on the hunt.
I really don't understand these animals.
I mean, I understand the nervous penguin and the sun adverse mole and even the unconcerned lion to a degree, but like, what does it mean that when you wake up and you're like, I feel like an alligator on the hunt.
What does that mean? Like, I feel like that means either you're horny or you're hangry. Like, what else does that mean?
I need to put something down my throat real quick. Sorry. But yeah, apparently you'll have to wait a little bit longer for Google Assistant. So, and
what did we want? Google Assistant. What did we get?
Weird
sleep animals.
Sleep animal. And like, oh, like, poor shark. Exhausted shark. I'm going to be an exhausted shark by the end of this week. So, all right. Anything else you want to say about the Samsung event?
They're good products if you don't have last year's products.
And they will eventually be better after hopefully the Google I.O. and they get the new features get launched. So
this buying either like the Watch 4 or the Tab 8 feels like the buying hardware on the promise of software type deal.
Which I don't normally
condone.
Yeah, like the Watch 4 is perfectly fine if you want to get it right now. It's a fantastic watch. Just don't buy it assuming you're going to get Google Assistant until like December of this year, you know.
It's annoying to not have, but it's not something I can't function without.
It's not the end of the world, but like, you know, just don't never buy any piece of hardware on the hope of future software. Just, you will be disappointed. Just don't do it. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the Galaxy Watch. It's a nice watch. Just know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
So, All right. Rolling into Apple land, we need to start accelerating a little bit. There's a new beta of iOS that makes it so that Face ID will now work with a face mask on. With a few caveats for things like glasses or sunglasses. So it may struggle if you have glasses or you change your glasses or you have like the reflective sunglasses. So, or like a ski mask, but you know.
Why are you wearing a ski mask in public? People go. Ski masks are for robbing places.
Well, I mean, like ski goggles. I mean, I'm sorry.
Okay. Like, if you are wearing a ski mask in public, you are sus, and I think you are on the way to go rob somewhere. Or it's like you forgot to take your safety glasses off after a robotics event, but oh, I forgot to take my ski mask off after robbing the house next door.
So, yeah. Anyway, they are lifting the Face ID model, because normally it does, like, your eyes and like down to your chin, and they're kind of like moving it more up your forehead. So if you turn this feature on, if you have an Apple Watch, you've been able to unlock for a little while, but not everyone has Apple Watches. So yeah, in the next version of iOS, hopefully people will be able to unlock their phones with their faces. So oh boy, it's been a journey. All right, so Apple is gonna be working with to update AirTags later this year that will basically make louder alerts and alert you whenever an unknown AirTag is around you, because it's technology and, of course, horrible people have figured out ways to abuse it. So these products existed before Apple, but Apple is the biggest company in the world. So not the biggest company in the world, but, you know, they're a big one. So when they do something, people notice. So you've been able to track people with like GPS trackers or tag trackers for a while. But unfortunately, because it's Apple, and they've made it really easy because it's Apple, you have some jerks like trying to like track people with AirTags. So yeah, they're doing more documentation. They're going to make the AirTags longer. They're going to cut down the period that it starts beeping if you have like an unknown AirTag tracker coming with you. And of course they've released the Android app, so if you have an Android phone you can install that. So hopefully, what I hope they do is Google has like a similar initiative, and I wish they would do kind of like what they did with the COVID tracker, and they just like work with Google to build this feature into Android as well. So that they can both alert people and they can both share the same network, because then that way I think that would kind of like level the playing field. So
just as a general PSA, this technology can be a good thing, but please don't be creepy with it.
Yeah.
Just please don't.
Yeah. Anyway. Apple has also announced a new Tap to Pay feature that lets newer iPhones accept contactless payments. So, kind of like a Square Cash register, you'll be able to like tap your iPhone on someone else's iPhone and accept a payment. It's going to be via a supported like app partner, so like Venmo, Square, PayPal, stuff like that. So, apparently it works with non-iPhones and traditional, like, tap-to-pay cards as well. So, it turns the iPhone into a tap-to-pay, like, kiosk, essentially, without any additional hardware.
Fun.
Yeah, so maybe next time you're at, like, the Fresh Mart, or, I'm sorry, like, the outdoor market or something like that, or getting your hair cut, someone will use that. So, it's going to be coming later this year. Stripe will be the first payment processor, and then it's going to work with Shopify as well.
Yes.
Nice. So, rolling into gaming land, Sony has a beta for a new PlayStation 5 voice assistant. So, apparently, Hey PlayStation is going to be used for a variety of functions to open games, search media controls, you can navigate the PlayStation 5. You can search for games. I guess you could message friends. It will work with external mics, the 3D headset, the PlayStation 5 media remote. So a lot of people use their gaming consoles as their media player. Apparently this is working pretty well according to the beta testers. So this will be coming to a PlayStation 5 later, around you later this year. Ooh, sorry. All right, so we had a Nintendo Direct. Ooh, sorry.
We did.
Were there any games that you thought were interesting in the Nintendo Direct?
Splatoon 3.
Okay. Wii Sports or Nintendo Sports is coming out.
Nah.
I was just surprised how old that game was. 15 years old.
No Man's Sky looks interesting.
I heard it was a flop, but then I also heard after like a year or two they fixed it and it's fun now or better now, so maybe it's worth revisiting.
Kirby the Forgotten Land comes out in March.
I take it you're going to be playing that.
This will definitely be played on many, many road trips.
Kirby has now gained the ability to swallow, large objects like cars, and the internet has like taken off. So instead of like absorbing it and taking its power in, he can like nom them and control them now, I guess.
Yeah.
Like he can like latch onto them and like half swallow them and then do different things. It's very strange. It's so strange. Some indie games like Triangle Strategy, some remakes like Chrono Cross, Radical Dreamers. Advanced Wars has a rebuild. I loved Advanced Wars in high school, so I'm happy they're remaking that game because the two games were just so much fun. It's kind of like a turn base, almost like a how do you put it? Oh, what do you call it? Kind of like a board game, like military strategy game.
Interesting. Kind of like Risk.
Yeah, but more of a focus on like combat. So like, you know, I mean, like tanks are good against like foot soldiers, and then you can get like artillery that'll take out planes. But then planes are more effective against different unit types. And then like each character has their own strengths. So like the main character has a special ability that'll like repair all of your units, and then the guy with the blue hair will make all of your tanks and like direct attack units stronger. So there are like 12 different like generals that you can choose from. So it's a lot of fun. So some of them are like real head scratchers. So if you want like a challenging but kind of fun like strategy game, I really enjoyed it. I played through both of them.
Also, Mario Kart 8 is getting 48 new tracks rolled out over the next 2 years.
That's crazy. That's
in like the DLC.
That's like doubling the game, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't actually looked at the list of all of the tracks, but that's really surprising. Because like Mario Kart Deluxe, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is like a remaster of a Wii U game that nobody played, and then the Wii Master came out like 5 years ago, so now they're remastering even more tracks.
I mean, I'm here for it.
There's a new hack and slash version of Fire Emblem. I still need to finish the Switch version. It's so long. It's so long. But, yeah. All right. I'm gonna flip the order of these, but Microsoft is acquiring Activision.
Okay.
So Microsoft is gonna have like so many games now. So like Activision, Blizzard, King.
So Microsoft now owns Overwatch, Diablo, Candy Crush, Call of Duty, Spyro the Dragon,
World of Warcraft, StarCraft,
Xbox ain't going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, Xbox Series X went from, like, what's the point of this thing? It has no exclusive games, to having, like, just a huge roster of really good exclusive games now.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, this is going to be great. And many of them are going to be added to Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, that's, and then apparently Call of Duty is still going to be on PlayStation, but, like, it'll be interesting, especially because, like, they're trying to turn Xbox into, like, Netflix of video games, so.
Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a random guy at the Lego store the other day, and he told me, and I was actually thinking the same thing, unless you care specifically about exclusive PlayStation games, it just makes more sense to buy an Xbox. Now even more so with this Activision purchase.
I mean, if you play a bunch of multi-platform games, I mean, and you like Game Pass, yeah, I know it's a fantastic deal. It lets you try out a whole bunch of stuff without having to pay $60 a game, and it's just, the library is huge. So, I mean, yeah, you really got to pick your games based off platform now, and it's more competitive than ever.
Though I am hoping with this Microsoft acquisition that they can clean up their house culture-wise with Activision after they went through a whole mess of stuff last year.
Well, apparently the CEO is not part of the acquisition, so there will be somebody else running Blizzard soon.
Well, according to the gaming leadership team, that was going to be Phil Spencer, the CEO of Microsoft Gaming.
I am good with that, because Phil Spencer is a pretty awesome guy. So
I have never heard of Phil Spencer, but he doesn't look terrible, so, yeah.
He's pretty cool. I follow him on Twitter, and he does all the Xbox announcements, so I think he's a pretty cool guy. So okay. Much better than the old Blizzard CEO, and for which we will not talk about here.
No. But for a cool $68.7 billion, Microsoft now is the king of gaming.
Oh, they have so many games. So, not to be outdone, Sony has acquired Bungie. So, they're now going to be getting Destiny. So, Sony already has a big, like, a list of exclusive games already, but Microsoft has the bigger, like, multi-platform games. Oh,
they also have Halo.
Yes. So, basically, Sony buying Bungie is kind of, it's, Microsoft has more, like, Sony has, like, more exclusives, like story-based exclusive games. But Microsoft now has more community-based games, so like Call of Duty, Minecraft, Halo. So
Destiny 2 is going to remain multi-platform.
Yes. So, like, because, like, with, like, Call of Duty and Minecraft and Destiny, you want a ton of people playing it. So it's like, this is part of, like, them trying to get, like, be competitive with the community stuff that all the Xbox community gaming. That, like, Xbox excels at.
Actually kind of confused as to what they just spent $3.6 billion on. So they bought Bungie.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to maintain creative independence inside Sony. And all of the game, I guess they just bought the royalties to the games, because the games themselves are not going to be PlayStation exclusives.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's
which I do like that.
Well, it's, Destiny is free to play now, so they make their money off of, like, people buying
in-app purchases.
Yeah, so, like, the more people that can play it, that's where they make their money from now, is people buying, like, the season passes, kind of like Fortnite, every year or every twice a year or something like that.
Mm.
So, it's just a different style of game. It's, think, like, it's very interesting, because, like, at the beginning of the current console generation, I was just like, what's the point of the Series X? There are no benefits of it now. And like now Microsoft is like really competitive and it's really exciting again. So it's going to be really cool to see what happens over the next couple of years. So I'm hoping we get that Xbox dongle later this year. Because I do want to play some Microsoft games, but I don't want to buy another $500 console to play, like, the next Skyrim. I'll pay, like, $100 for the dongle and the Xbox controller, but I really don't want to pay $500 for just for a couple of games. All right, so...
You ready for this?
You want to do the next three stories and let's call it a night? Because we're going super long.
Well, that's what happens when you don't podcast for a month.
A month, yes.
This is what I have been asking for and ranting for what, 3 years now? Longer than that?
Mm-hmm.
And literally, I gave up and just bought a gaming mouse last year. 2 years ago now. The Logitech Signature M650 mouse is a personalized, super customizable mouse. So they have three different colors. They've got the black, they've got the white, they've got the pink. And they've got it in a small and a large left or right-handed option.
Oh, okay.
And so it's a normal mouse. It's not a $100+ RGB infested gamer mouse. This you could, if you were a huffy professional, you could have this by your side in a big courtroom legal meeting type deal. It's a pretty basic mouse too. It's got left click, it's got right click, it's got the buttons on the side, and that's it.
But that's all that Devin wants.
But that's literally like I had been complaining and looking for something like that for years.
Oh,
I mean, now that I've gotten used to my $150 mouse, I don't know if I can live without it. But yeah, it's also Bluetooth, and it runs off of a normal AA battery.
That will last 2 years.
That will last 2 years versus having to charge your mouse every couple days. But it's got a contoured left-handed option. And it's not even like fake lefty ambidextrous. It'll fit and it won't hurt, but you can't use the buttons. It's a truly left-handed mouse, and it only costs $40.
So what you're telling me is you're going to buy like four of these and have one in every color?
I actually, no. I mean, this is why we call it lazy lefty love. It's like the bare minimum. You can only get a large black. You can't get a small. You can't get it in white or pink. But at least there's finally an option.
Well, what I'm getting at is, are you going to buy like four of them and just keep three of them in your closet?
Yes, very much so. Like, so they're like, not going to be my daily driver mouse. I've already invested $300+ in fancy left-handed gaming mice.
But like, you can have a stock. You can have like a warehouse full of these things of just like, when one mouse dies, you keep using it.
This is for when I forgot my mouse at home, or I don't want to travel with my fancy mouse, or I have to buy another one and I'm not going to explode for 3 days while I wait for another one to come in. Because I think you and he both remember how dramatic that those 3 days were. Like, this is what I've been asking for at least 3 years.
Yeah, so now you can get one in black.
I would buy this if it was neon brown or tie-dye. Like,
I kind of take the red one.
Red? There's no red.
There's a red one.
Where? It's pink.
Oh, there's a red one.
Where?
1 second. Check your Telegram. I actually found the actual product page.
Oh, okay. Okay, so there is off-white, pink, graphite, red, or blue if you are right-handed. Slow, if you are left-handed, you can get it in black.
Slow progress. Maybe one day.
Slow progress, but like, yay.
An exhausted yay. All right, speaking of other oddities, Sony Link Buds?
These are just like weird shapes.
So they're open hole earbuds that have noise canceling?
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I want to try them, but yeah, they're like headphones that have holes in them that somehow still noise cancel. So like you can have them in your ears and it doesn't create the wind tunnel effect that the normal in-ear headphones do. Oh, interesting. Like, apparently voice calls are a major strength of the Link Buds.
Interesting.
Don't expect thumping bass, but for phone calls, that's kind of what they're designed for, is like music and phone calls and noise canceling.
They are $180 and available now.
So they're reasonable, and they come in two colors, white and black.
Interesting. So, according to the Verge review, the battery life is just okay, and they're not practical in a really loud environment like a gym or a subway. But still, but like, I think almost one of the most celebratory features of all, we really need to compliment Sony here on giving these things a pronounceable name. Not the XM400Bs or something weird like that.
Oh, no. They're just simply
Link Buds. Something that you can pronounce.
Very cool. Maybe someone will gift you some Link Buds and you can try them out.
And then this story is kind of interesting. Ford is not only making it easier for you to modify your truck, they're flat out endorsing it. And giving you STL files to do things like print your own cup holder for the back seats.
Yeah, they got what's called FITS slots, FITS slots.
Which is the Ford Integrated Tether System.
Yeah, so it's like a special, like, crevice?
It's like this little rectangular, like, hole. And there's eight of them in the vehicle. And, you can put, like, hooks for grocery bags or, like,
Cup holders,
a spot for, like, tablets. And like these were all supposed to come out with the announcement of the truck, which they just now came out. But like the maker community will see a need and get it.
Oh yeah.
So there is plenty of FITS compatible stuff on Thingiverse and My Mini Factory. There's also a $50 3D printed accessory pack that you can buy from Ford.
Yeah. So they'll make an official one if you don't have a 3D printer. But if you got a 3D printer, you can make your own.
I don't know. I really, really like the fact that like it's not just a bunch of people saying, "Hey, there's this little weird spot in the truck. Hey, let's modify it." Like they're flat out saying, "Yeah, go ahead, do your thing," and they're actually endorsing and supporting the idea.
I still think that you need to make some time and go test drive this truck somewhere.
After robot season,
this screams like this is the
scream like this is the truck that I want. It's not quite an F-150 that I can't really afford right now, but like it's just enough truck for like, yeah, I want this. I hardcore want this. It's under 20 grand. I'm probably gonna buy one of these soon. But, you know, after we get through tournament season.
All right. So, with that being said, you want to take us home?
Well, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on all the social things, Medium, Twitter, and Instagram at Hobie Henning.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DevinJCR. We hope we'll be back a little bit more regularly, but it also is tournament season, so I make no promises. But until next time, stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask in public, get vaccinated if you can. And until next time, stay curious.